Exodus chapter 20. I hope you found your place there, and I want to start with verse 1, reading down through verse 15 as a reminder of the Ten Commandments. It's good to be reminded of them. They're important. If you break one, you're guilty of breaking them all. And each one of those commandments is equally important and equally evil. They may not have the same social problems that develop from them, but they are all in God's sight evil, wicked, sinful, and wrong. In Exodus 20, verse 1, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Commandment number 3, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." The fourth commandment, "Remember the Sabbath day," that is that day set aside to worship God and to rest. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. He goes on to elaborate on 6 days working and what you should do on the seventh day. Verse 12, "Honor thy father and thy mother." It doesn't mean just while you're a teenager either. It does include that. Amen? Amen? Amen. "Thou shalt not kill." Verse 13, "Thou shalt not kill." Verse 14, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." We dealt with that one last week. And now, verse 15, the eighth commandment, not suggestion, but the eighth divine imperative and commandment is, "Thou shalt not steal." We are not to steal. No stealing. One of the things we need to realize is that God owns everything. And if God owns everything and He has allowed somebody to have part of what he owns to be the steward over, then we have no business taking that away from them, because God owns it and God gave it to them. So if we trust God as the one who owns it all, then we're never going to have to steal to make ends meet. Amen? Because God owns it all, and God can supply anybody's need as they trust him. Now let's think about stealing from others, first of all. Stealing from others. There, of course, is the violent crime type stealing. That's pretty obvious that God is against that. We almost daily out in the Metroplex hear about somebody going into a bank and robbing a bank, or going into some place like a 7-Eleven with a gun, or guns, and robbing them. We have had ladies in our church that some low-down, rotten, sorry person has stolen their purse, knocked them down, beat them up, and I've had to visit them in the emergency room because they needed to steal a little money for some drugs or dope or whatever else they do with it. Obviously, we know that that's a terrible thing. We're not to steal. There should not be any violence used to take property that belongs to somebody else. That is wrong, and believe you me, they will pay for that. There's another thing, stealing from others, called extortion. And that is cheating people out of something. That's extorting something from them under force and duress. I led a woman to the Lord who was in her 80s one time. Went by her mobile home. She had moved to our city in Virginia. And she was a very interesting person. Her name was Flo Seaman. My wife would remember her well. She was a very delightful person, very humorous person. But she and her husband used to own a restaurant in Chicago. And she remembers seeing Al Capone in her restaurant. And he was extorting funds from her husband. When the stock market crashed, her husband took his own life while she was down at their house, one of their places in Florida on the beach. And he gassed himself to death because his whole life was centered around money. But I remember her telling that story. She got saved in her 80s. Thank God for that. Very interesting background, to say the least. But a person like that, or somebody who under force takes something that belongs to somebody else, that is stealing according to the Word of God. There is fraud. Now we're going to get closer to where we live. There is selling something deceitfully, misrepresenting it, cheating somebody in a business transaction, using trickery in order to make more money, or in order to fool somebody and get something for a price that is not a fair market price. That is fraud. When you, as a business person, misrepresent something, or you as an individual are selling something and you misrepresent that product, you know it isn't what you're selling it to be, you know it's not as good, and usually it's a car, isn't it? Oh, I got that thing at a steal, man. I'm somebody, I'm smart, I'm brilliant. And I knew that I got that as a steal, but I turn around and I misrepresent what it is and sell it way higher than the fair market price. Like it or not, friend, that's stealing. That is stealing. You're taking advantage of someone, and God calls that stealing. How about the employee-employer relationship? The employer-employee relationship. If you're the employer and you don't treat your staff right, and you're mean to them, and you don't see that their needs are met, and you make all the money, and you get rich, and they're living in poverty, and you could pay them more, and you know you could, and it would be right, and it would be fair, it would be the good thing to do, and you don't do it, you're stealing from those people. Could I hear one amen? Some of you have had that happen to you. Some of you have had that very same thing happen to you. By the way, that's why unions came into being. Because there were bosses who abused that relationship. But, of course, unions have grown so strongly that they have misrepresented that power in many ways. And now a lot of union workers don't have to work. They just have to show up. That's going to make some of you mad, but I was a member of the Teamsters Union at one time. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I saw people who made demands that were so ridiculous, it was unbelievable, and cost that company. The reason your product got hired is because they wouldn't work. There's a need for both situations, but it should be done in the right way. But in either case, there is the opportunity for being fraudulent and for being wrong in that relationship. Listen, let me tell you something. If your employer, by the way, pays you for 8 hours work, by God's grace, he ought to get, or she ought to get, 8 hours work out of you. 8 hours work, and maybe a little more because you're a Christian. Amen? Maybe a little more because of your testimony. These people who want to work for nothing and they don't want anybody to pay them, they want to get away with everything they could. Titus 2:10 says, not purloining. Anybody know what purloining means? It means not stealing. That's the best way that that word could be described. Not purloining, Titus tells us in 2:10. Not stealing from somebody that you're working for. And if you're not giving them, look, if they have to come in and you have to quit what you're doing, the boss comes by, something's wrong with that picture. If you're on the internet and Facebook and email and doing all of that when you should be working for the man that you're working for, so that man can make money in the capitalistic system so that you can make a living, then my friend, you are stealing from that employer. You don't have to hold a gun to the head to steal from them. If you're lazy and you won't do work, I remember working in a factory when I was in seminary, and our second shift was made up of a lot of Bible college, Bible seminary workers, and we just believed the biblical work ethic. And man, we started putting out about twice as much as the day shift was putting out. And those guys met us at the time clock one day and said they wanted to fight. They wanted us to slow down because they didn't want to work that hard. All we were doing was just working. Just working. By the way, that's why they wanted to hire more of us. If you want to keep a job and want to get a job, then work hard at that job. Let me tell you how to go out and get a job today if you don't have a job. Go to somebody and say, I'll work for you for nothing. You're not getting paid anyway. And if you'll work hard and show them that you're a good worker, they'll hire you. That's sort of like a missionary. If you want to get support while you're at a church, go out and win a soul, bring them down the aisle, and that church is apt to start supporting you. Works the same way with work. It's the same type thing. And so we ought to do that. That's the fundamental tenet, by the way, of the Old Testament. Man, they ingrained that in those people. The employer and employee. King Jehoiakim was reprimanded by Jeremiah because he had hired some people to do some work on building his palace, his home, his house, and he then would not pay them for the work that they had done. That was stealing, and Jeremiah reprimanded him in Jeremiah 22. You can read it. I don't have time to read all of these stories and references. What about somebody else's property? If you borrow something from someone and you do not return that item, you're stealing. You say, well, I'm just going to borrow it till the rapture. No, no, no. You stole it. You say, well, I forgot it. You ought to have better discipline than to forget it. I'm trying to remember now if I borrowed something from anybody. By the way, some of you still have some of my books I loaned you. Would you please bring them back? My library, there's spaces in my library, two or three there, so everybody will start looking for my books now. Friend, if you borrow something from somebody, axe or a hoe or a whatever it may be, a compressor, I don't care what it is. Whatever it is, if you don't return it to them, if it's something that you're using, and in some cases it keeps them from even doing what they could do in order to make money, and you don't return it, you are guilty of stealing that property. It's in the Bible, by the way. It's in the book. And God wrote the book, amen. It's in the Bible. It's there. And God covers all of that in the book of Leviticus. Read it. It's not a boring book. It's a very interesting book. If you borrow something from somebody and you tear it up and return it like that, and you don't get it fixed or you don't pay for having it fixed, you've stolen from that person. It's a wrong thing to do. What if you find something and you have evidence that it belongs to somebody else? Oh, I know. You remember what Proverbs says? Finders keepers, losers weepers. Isn't that in Proverbs somewhere? Maybe it's not. Maybe that's just an old wives' tale or something. If you find something and you know that it belongs to somebody else and you say, tough luck for them, it belongs to me, you have stolen that item. My wife and I went in to see a businessman in one of these 10-story buildings sometime back. Been a couple of years ago. We had some business there. And when we got out of the car, I found some money on the concrete, laying there right there close to the car. I said, thank you, Lord. You get no, I we went in, went to the front desk, told the lady, I said, we found some money out here. She said, well, I would have no way of ever finding who it belongs to. I said, can you make an announcement? No, we can't do that. So we go up to about the 7th or 8th floor, and we're talking to our broker, talking to him. I'm broke, by the way, because of our broker, but we're talking to him, and that's why they call them brokers anyway in this day and age, in these times. Just wait 7 years. It'll come back up. Don't worry about it. So we talked to him, and he said, we have no way. We couldn't track those people down for anything. I just smiled. He said, why don't you keep it? I said, all right, we'll keep it. If you find out whose it is, if you hear of anybody that lost it. But we didn't have any identification. We didn't know how to get it back to them. But had we should have gotten it back to them. Amen? I remember when I was a little boy finding a billfold on an abandoned house across the street, brought it over, me and my nephew, who was a year younger than me, and my mother chewed me out, said, that does not belong to you. I said, just lay it out there. She said, take it back. It belongs to somebody else. I had to walk all the way back over there in Georgia, somewhere in Georgia, and take that billfold and lay it back. She said, it doesn't belong to you. You say, that's too radical. No, it was a good lesson for me. And I never forgot it. That's why I'm telling you about it today. I never forgot it. Property. How about gambling? Oh, that's not stealing. Oh, yes, it is stealing. It's taking money, receiving money that has come from mostly people that cannot afford that at all. They have done study after study. You say, oh, but it's bringing taxes in to help educate our kids. Who sold you that lie? That's the biggest lie ever told. It's costing more to rehabilitate people who are gamblers than it is to help anybody in education. It's costing more to rehabilitate and try to put families back together where people have gone out and gambled away their paycheck and they're addicted to gambling. And when you get money as a result of gambling, you are stealing something you did not work for and you did not earn, and it is stealing. Now, not too many amens, but I know some of you, I know what you're up to. That's why I'm preaching it so hard. You say, but preacher, we're going to tithe it. Well, go ahead, but that's not going to answer the question between you and God as to whether it was right or not. I don't know that I would take it at this church. I want to leave a little opening there. What about laziness? You say, well, that's my business. Let me tell you something. If you're lazy, you don't work hard, and all that kind of thing, you are stealing from yourself, first of all, because you're not meeting the needs. Oh, I got to sleep in. I got to sleep late. I've earned this, all of that. Watch out. We haven't earned a whole lot of anything. We need to work. The work ethic is in the Bible. I got to hurry. How about, oh, may I hate to mention this, income tax. You say, oh, that's just a joke. You're just being funny, preacher. Hey, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Now, let me ask you, was Caesar spending it right in those days? Absolutely not. I don't think those peckerwoods at the White House and the Congress and all of that, I don't think they're spending my money right nowadays. I'll be honest about it. And if the president and vice president, he owes some money now anyway, doesn't he? If they were all here, I'd tell them face to face, you're not spending my money the way I want you. I don't want my tax money spent on abortion. Amen. But go ahead and clap. That's all right. I don't want it spent on abortion and a lot of other things. But God said, render to Caesar that which is Caesar's. And if you lie on your income tax, and some of you even probably say you give to the church so much and you know you don't do it, I hope they get you. No, I don't. I don't. Well, sort of I do. Anybody lie about that, lie about anything. Or acting like you give more. Ananias and Sapphira sort of got in trouble with that, didn't they? In the early church, God was making a point. Refusal to pay a loan off. I don't think bankruptcy is the best option for a born-again believer. There might be some rare situations. But basically, if you make that debt, my friend, you owe that debt. You made the debt. You say, yeah, but they get too much interest and all that. You knew it when you got in. If you didn't, you should have. And these people that do that, that's not a very good Christian testimony. We have to be careful with that. You may not be able to pay it like they want it, but you get on the phone, you do the best, you pay them something, you do all you can and do a lot of things. There are a lot of people could save themselves a lot of heartache if they'd sell what they got, go down a little bit, live a little bit, about a notch or two below what they're living now, and go ahead and do what they're supposed to do. You say, well, I can't sell that big fancy house. It'd be better than a lot of options. so refusal to pay a loan off. Somebody that kidnapped somebody, that's stealing. There's a little boy that just died in Mineral Wells. They found him in a shed, dead. I think he was 4 years of age, I believe. Because somebody stole him because they wanted some money. Not only are they guilty of being a thief, but now they're guilty of murder because that little boy died. These, I guess, some of the lowest down slime pit people in the world, in my opinion, are those who buy children from foreign countries and bring them over here in the prostitution, slave trade, and sell them to men. How horrible. Stealing, kidnapping, God talks all about that in the Word of God. Not managing well is a way of stealing. Whatever God gives you, you ought to manage it right. If you manage it wrong, you're stealing from yourself and can be from your family and others. And then there are those religious shysters that are out there. God deals with them. As a matter of fact, he talks about the scribes. And he said, you are devouring widows' houses. What were the scribes doing? They were going and telling those widow ladies that they wanted them to give money to them and give money to the house of God and above and beyond what they were supposed to, what was expected out of them, way beyond all of that. And God reprimanded them for it. These shysters that get on television and lie, those who tell you that if you just give them some money, you'll be so prosperous, you won't know. I mean, you just won't believe. Listen, if that's the truth, why do they need your money anyway? Give me some seed money. All right, give me some seed money and I'll go spend it. I don't promise you anything. A lot of them are liars. They're shysters. They're taking money from poor people and poor widow ladies and people that don't know any better. And they're living in palaces. They show it all the time. They're driving Jaguars. How do you say that? I can only say Volkswagen. They're driving Jaguars and Rolls Royces, Kaz, like you were talking about. Rolls Royce, or was it Drake? I don't know. It was Drake talking about a Rolls Royce. Don't hold your breath, son. You better make a lot of money. When I got back from India, I had my picture taken by about a $700,000 or $800,000 Rolls Royce. Boy, that thing was pretty. I wasn't going to scratch it. I just wanted my picture taken by it. And I put it on Facebook so all my people I graduated with would think I was rich. And then they wrote, what's this? What car is this? And then I had to tell them where it was and whose it was. That was good. But let me tell you, these shysters that rip people off and they live like kings, they're going to pay for that some of these days. And they do it. It's all around the Metroplex. You don't believe me, get in the car and I'll take you somewhere and show you. That's God never intended for preachers to live way above their people or to live like kings and palaces. That's not God's will. That doesn't smack of the right kind of stewardship. Just doesn't. There were those, and let me just mention this, socialism is a form of stealing. We're headed more towards socialism than we could ever dream of. Socialism is a form of stealing. You say, well, wait a minute. Now, you know the Bible talks about poor people and helping the poor. That's right. You're exactly right, and we ought to do a better job of it. We don't do a good enough job of it. We should do a better job of it. But let me tell you something. Socialism takes it from the rich. Did you hear what I said? Takes it. You don't have any choice in the matter. The Bible teaches that if you want to give out of your abundance, you are free to do that, and you do it out of your heart. But nobody has the right to force you by law to do that. The capitalistic system is the right system, and if we'll leave it alone and let it work, it will work. It always has worked, and that's one of the reasons it's made our country great. If a person's willing to work and pay the price, they can make it. Now, you may not ever get rich, but Did God ever tell us that was our goal? If we happen to, the only reason for that is to give out of your abundance. And if you get wealth and you just can it up, you're out of God's will. You're not in God's will. You need to give it, circulate it, get it out there, help people out, do something with it. But socialism is a form of thievery. And then I'm just going to touch on this. I don't have a whole lot of time, but how about stealing from God? You know where Matthew is? Turn to Matthew and back up just a little bit. In Malachi chapter 3. You say, oh, but preacher, that's in the Old Testament. Yeah, thou shalt not steal is in the Old Testament. Thou shalt not lie is in the Old Testament. It's also in the New Testament. But he says in Malachi chapter 3, the Lord is talking about offerings, so on and so forth. And then in verse 7 he says, even from the days of your fathers you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Sort of tongue in cheek, they said, where shall we return? So he gives them the answer. Verse 8, will a man rob God? Now how are you going to rob God? First of all, he's a spirit and you can't find him to put a gun in his back, and he's not scared of you if you could. You can't. How are you going to rob God? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. Who said that? God did. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? How could we rob God? Listen to it. In tithes and offerings. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Thank you. In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. They had one back then. We have one now. Here it is, the local church. That there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now, here we saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God promises to bless those who give. That's not prosperity theology like that is taught, but it's a promise of the blessings of God in many ways in our life. You see, in the Old Testament, they had, by the way, three tithes that they had to give. They gave about 23% of their income every year. And one of the tithes went to the ones who were in the temple. They would give it to the Levites and for the upkeep of the temple. Then they had three major feasts during the year, and those three feasts were paid for out of the tithes and offerings. And then every 3 years, they were to help the needy out of the tithes and offerings. That was God's plan. 23% by law was supposed to be given in the Old Testament. Now you say, well, what about tithing? Isn't that the law? No, it existed before the law was given. Jacob talked about that in Genesis 14. He promised one-tenth. A tithe is one-tenth of your income. Abraham gave a tithe to Melchizedek, who was a type of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And some think even he was an appearance of Christ, but definitely we would agree that he was a type. And Melchizedek gave a tithe to him in the Old Testament before the law was given as it was given to Israel in that sense. In the New Testament, the time of grace, Jesus had something to say about it. And he said this as he was scolding some Pharisees and some religious zealots. He was saying to them, you brought your tithe, you brought your anise and mint and so on and so forth. And he said this, these ought ye to have done. Jesus said, yeah, you're right. You should give at least a tithe. That's the beginning place, the very beginning place. But the amount you give to God's work should be as generous as your heart. There ought to be an offering on top of the tithe. There should be offerings given to missions. How are we going to reach a lost and dying world if we don't give to missions? How are we going to reach a lost and dying world? Every member of this church should be a minimum of a tither and give above and beyond that tithe. And if you trust God and you really believe He owns it all and you really believe the Word of God, then you're going to do that. But see, some of you are like people, as I said in my Sunday school class this morning, you look in the mirror of the Word of God and you see there's something wrong, but you say, ho-hum, who cares? Let him preach all he wants to. Let him talk about it. I don't care how many times he talks about tithing and offerings. I'm going to do what I want to do. But it's in the Word of God. And if you do that, you're robbing from God. Now, friend, I'd rather rob from anybody before I'd rob from God. You're saying, I don't trust Him. I don't believe what He said. He said to bring it and tithe. And people say, well, do you tithe off the gross or the net? Well, how much do you love God? Come on. That's God you're talking about. Off of the gross. And if God has abundantly prospered you out of that prosperity, it's not to hoard, it's to help people out. The reason the government had to take over some of that, the church wasn't doing their job. Now the government has a place to help out, and they're doing some of that. But we have a responsibility too. Well, let's close this thing out. Stealing, one of the commandments, it's bad, just like all the rest of them. It's a sin, and we're all sinners. And you remember, if you break one of those laws, you're guilty of how many? All of them. Think of each one of those Ten Commandments as a link in a chain, and you break one of those links, you have broken all of them. You're guilty of breaking the law. And that's why the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have broken some of these laws and perhaps in some measure all of them. And we need a Savior. Will Jesus forgive? Amen, He will forgive. Jesus warned the tax collectors and the Roman soldiers very emphatically. After an occasion, he told them, don't you dare take kickbacks. And you remember that there were tax collectors that were in those provinces and places that the Roman government had put there, and they were told not to do that, but Rome didn't really care what they did. And so the tax collectors would take a little money and they would lie about it and they would give a little to the Roman soldiers because the Roman soldiers would back them up like a bad policeman. Thank God most of them aren't bad, but they would back them up like that. Now, here comes a man by the name of Zacchaeus. We've heard about him if we've been in church all of our life. Little short Zacchaeus. What was his? What did he do for a living? He was a tax collector. Not only was he a tax collector, he was a thief. He stole money. He made them pay more taxes. And he had the Roman government to back him up. And he was a thief. But he heard Jesus was coming by. And he couldn't see him because of the crowd. And he got up in that tree. And Jesus said, hey, Zach, come on down here, buddy. I'm going to spend a little time with you today. We're going to get some things right. And guess what? Zacchaeus got saved. Amen. We know he got saved because he repented. And instead of paying back the 20%, which was what the law required, he said to Jesus, I'm going to pay back 400% to all of these people. And he had a list of people that he had taxed. You see, it showed he had had an attitude of change. And when you get saved, you repent, you change. If you really get saved, your life changes. You begin to live for Jesus Christ. You don't just talk about it. You don't just say, oh yeah, I went down the aisle. I walked down the aisle and I made some kind of profession. Friend, when you get saved, you repent, you turn to the Lord, your life changes. And Zacchaeus' life changed. Then there are the thieves on the cross. Isn't that what they were called? One on one side and one on the other side. The thieves on the cross. And at first they both sort of like, we don't need this Jesus. And then finally one of them came to his senses. We got people like that right here. He's going to do one of the two. today. I don't need that. Or yes, boy, I really do. But here was a thief, a robber on the cross right by our precious Lord. And he asked the Lord basically to forgive him. And Jesus said to him, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." You know what he said? "You believe that I'm your Savior, I've forgiven you, and we're both going to die, and you're going to be with me in paradise." And that's I could spend a little time there on that, but we'll just leave it at that. But at any rate, we know that he forgave. Now, which one of these sins is worse? Is adultery worse than stealing? Really not. Is a little adultery okay and a little stealing okay? No. Friend, it's wrong. That's why we're all guilty and we need a Savior. We need the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And if by chance you have been saved and you hadn't made these things right in any of these areas, may the Holy Spirit of God convict our hearts today to say, "Hey, I got to get that thing right." Whether it's your relationship or your business or your trading deals or any other way that you're dealing with the government or anything else that we've mentioned, the Spirit of God may have mentioned something even to you that I never even touched. But dear friend, stealing is wrong. And you cannot steal from God or others in any situation and expect God to bless your life. It will not happen. We need to be right with God in this area, just like we're right with God in the other areas. Let's stand, please. Would you bow your head just a moment? Every head is bowed. If you're here without Christ, you're a debt. It's a sin debt. And you cannot pay for it. You can't. There's no way you can pay it back. But thank God Jesus paid your sin debt. There are some here that maybe for the first time in your life have really realized that today. You're a sinner, Jesus paid your sin debt. You've broken the law, as we all have. And you need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. He'll save you, ma'am. He'll save you, sir. A couple of you, a whole family, if you'd come and you need to be saved, he'll save you if you'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ today. Christian, what has God said to you today? The mirror of the Word. What will you do with what God has mirrored to your heart today? Father, I pray now you would speak to us. Help us to not be guilty of stealing. Help us to keep this commandment. It's so vitally important. Help us to not cheat in business or to cheat in university or to cheat in college or to cheat in school. Help us not to rob from you. Help us, God, to put you first. In all of these areas, help us to be true. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.